Folks, welcome back to the iHealth channel, iHealth Radio, the Nutritious channel, the Fit and Fab channel. I mean, we are all of our health, wellness, and fitness today. Well, not so much fitness, but definitely health and wellness and weight loss. And with me, I have a double impact, a tag team that's going to guide us through a journey of, transformation from a lot of weight to no weight to transforming other people. So it's going to be an intriguing story, an intriguing show today. It's a fun discussion, and it's something that is impacting a lot of people, whether we know it or not. Whether we don't, it is a reality of this world that we live in, especially in the States. So obesity, weight is big, is real. So without further ado, I have with me Alan and Angie Thomas. Alan and Angie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Hurricane, for having us.
Thank you for having us, Hurricane. And as I said earlier, we've got a hurricane going on outside the window, so it's appropriate that we're here with you.
Debbie Downer, as I think someone posted in the
Down, we're having Debbie Downpour. That's right.
So you got Debbie out there, you got H in here. Wow.
That's territory luck.
That's it.
Well, you guys live in a good place, so you know what? Hurricanes do come up your way, and, to be honest with you, last recent years, it's been all over the place. I mean, if you're on the East Coast, you never know where you're going to get it. And sometimes even the West Coast, I mean, at least on the Florida side, they get hit. So it's a give and take. I mean, it's part of the deal, right?
It's
worth the risk. It's worth it. It's worth it. And again, I mean, there's no real safe place, as they would say. I mean, you go inside the country, you get tornadoes. You go to California, you got earthquakes. I mean, can't win. So you just take it for what it's worth. You come up north, we have blizzards and heavy snow and all the other stuff. So
we'll keep the hurricane over the heavy snow, because we can leave when big hurricane's coming. So we get out. We get plenty of warning.
You got it. Well, all right. So let's start with your story, because you currently are transforming lives and helping people really, tune down their weight to a very acceptable, very healthy level where people are living bright and happy and vital, right? But you, both of you, seem to have had a dealing with obesity and weight, right?
Sure.
And so let's take us through that journey and how it went, because I mean, your numbers are just amazing where you were and where you are.
No, it was should have never been there, that's for sure. But what happened really was, like a lot of people, I mean, a lot of people we work with, and I'm sure, being in the health world, you hear it a lot. I mean, it was this 5 pound, 6 pound, 7 pound, and trying the diet of the week, the diet of the month, the exercise plan of this time and that time, and just nothing ever worked. 35 years go by. Okay, I was 55 years old. It was the day after our 31st wedding anniversary. It was 2017, March 2nd, 2017. And I stepped on the scale and I saw the number 3 at the beginning of my weight. And now if it had been 299.999, I would probably still be there. But the fact that it said 304 that day, I was standing there in the dark. When I saw that, the first thing that ran through my mind was that, because I was in the life insurance business for senior citizens predominantly, okay? So it's the final expense world. And I met regularly with people in their 60s and 70s and sometimes even in their 80s. And I could not remember, out of the thousands of homes I'd been in, training agents, doing all this stuff that I used to do, and in meeting with what we call the proverbial Miss Johnson or Mr. Johnson, the is our metaphorical name that we use for them, couldn't remember meeting one man that was 65 years old that had more than 100 pounds of excess weight. Bless you. And so in standing there, I knew that she was going to likely be calling me her first husband, not because hopefully she wasn't shopping around. She might be now, but I don't think so. But I'm with her a lot. So, not because I was, she was going to leave me or any of that, because I couldn't put down the stinking Ford. And then we still have 4 children. They're all grown, obviously. But at the end of the day, I realized they'd be calling another man dad. They would be calling another, because I couldn't stop this thing called excess eating, because that's what it was. It was no doubt. And, you know, I could write books on diets. I mean, back then, I mean, I could, you know, I'd read so many books. I'd seen so many, you know, gone through so many programs and everything, and nothing ever worked. But the thing that that happened is I got leverage on myself that day. And when I realized that what I was playing for was bigger, now I had no medical problems other than my morbid obesity. Okay. I was pretty well, you know, what we classify as a healthy obese guy, but that's an oxymoron, because if you're morbidly obese, you're not healthy. But at the end of the day, I made the decision that day that I'd never see that number on the scale again. And so fast forward a few weeks, we Angie and I decided to go public with our journey, and we declared that she declared she was going to drop 63 pounds, and in a period of time she beat her numbers. 190 days she dropped 63 pounds, and 260 days I released 129 pounds, and it changed everything for us. And it wasn't. And it was, you know, and this is something interesting. I know you're, and listen, we believe in great nutrition. We believe in exercise. We believe in all those things. But one of the things that I discovered along the way was that, you know, pretty much everybody knows what to eat already. Okay. It's not that complicated, really. I mean, you know, you think about, you go for lean protein, you go for, you know, if you're going to have a, you know, you some sort of caloric restriction, maybe you're gonna do keto, maybe you do carnivore, maybe the million different things. All the diets work at some level. But what the part that we miss, and that I had missed for so many years, and I learned along that journey, was that I had to really, what we call rethinking. We had to rethink the process. And I had to get that. It's Archimedes, a really smart guy that lived, I don't know how many hundreds of years ago. He said, if you give me a lever long enough and a place to sit it, I can move the whole world. And that's what I did. I found a lever long enough. Now, I mean, and that's what, and so it's interesting. You mentioned we'll be talking about nutrition. I'm open to that. But here's what's interesting. We work with clients and get literally, we've gotten hundreds of pounds off people. And one of the things, our first thing we tell every single client that we've ever had, we will never tell you what to eat, and we'll never tell you what exercise to do, because that's not your problem. Do you have to change what you eat? 100%. Do you have to do exercise? Well, some of our clients were in wheelchairs, and some of them are with walkers and that kind of thing. So, you know, at all the different ages. But at the end of the day, we have to take this. I had to take, and Angie had to take, this thing called this radical responsibility for our health. A radical, because it was holding us back in every area of our life. It was holding us back in our relationship. It was holding us back in our businesses. It was holding us back in the health. Was that's the obvious one. If that were enough, everybody'd already be in you know, their skinny jeans. As I tell my clients, you'd already be in your skinny jeans if the health was enough. I want people to be healthy. That's positively the foundation for everything. But at the end of the day, if that were enough, obesity would not be growing by 92,000 people every day worldwide. That's after you factor out the people who died, and one person every 7 to 8 seconds from an obesity related illness. It's still growing by 92,000 people a day. And so are we lacking information on nutrition worldwide? No. I mean, information's everywhere. Have they changed the food rules? Yeah. I mean, food is the deck stacked against us. I mean, it's the crap they're putting in food and all the things. And to all of that, I say it's awful, but also say, so what? That is an excuse that we can still get out of obesity. And it's like a client of ours who today had kind of a big day. He came to us. He's one of our older clients. He came to us at age 70 at 388 pounds was where he peaked. And now we call him a unicorn, as you know, Hurricane. That's a 388 pound man at age 70 years old is almost unheard of. Heart attack survivor. Oh, by the way, he's got a fused vertebrae, so he walks with a walker. Exercise is almost completely off the table. Okay. He never had any success with his weight loss in the whole history of doing every diet that there was out there, every diet of the week for 52 years. He'd struggled with his weight. And when he said, can you help me? He said, oh, I'm positive I can help you if you'll do the work. I'm positive. He said, you are. And he called me a lunatic. Thought it was crazy. But I wasn't going to tell them what to eat. I wasn't going to tell them. I said, I want you to take a picture, a selfie of yourself too, because you're not going to recognize yourself in a period of time. And I want you to have that because you'll wish you had it. This morning, now he still got a little ways to go, but this morning he weighed in at 219 pounds. He's at the weight that he was when Nixon was in office. That's the last time he weighed that. That's how we started gauging his weight. I'm serious. I mean, and what's interesting is he never got a diet promise because he already knew. He never had it, but what he had stopped doing was he lacked the personal responsibility for taking over that. And we put it squarely on his shoulders, and he said, and he realized he's become kind of a hero in our world. It's interesting. And but this is the other thing too, Hurricane. And why we're so passionate about it is because if we're going to turn this tide of obesity around, you know, people who are passionate about it, like I know you are with your, you know, radio network, podcast network, and all the things y'all do, and people like us, if we're going to turn it around, the magic is when you have somebody like that who is completely hopeless, has every reason he shouldn't be able to do it. God knows I'm grateful he's not dead, but he should have been dead. I mean, I tell him every day, I say, God's got big plans for you because you're still alive. There's no reason you should have been alive. And so he's still in there. He's at 73. Now it's taken a long time, but at the end of the day, what's magical about it, people that we've never met, he didn't tell them what to do. He showed them what to do. He didn't tell it, but people around him are losing weight. Not because they're clients of ours. I mean, I wish everybody's a client of ours, but at the end of the day, they see what he's doing. It's kind of like what Brian Tracy said. You're the sum total of five people you spend most time with. And so he has gotten his message out not by telling people anything, not by, you know, saying, hey, do this diet, do this thing, which I mean, there's value in that. Don't get me wrong, but 100%. I mean, there's no easy way out. That's what I tell people. There's no easy way out. But at the end of the day, he's changing the trajectory of the people around him, because he's taking personal action and he's leading by example. And that's what we see over with men and women over and over and over. And then they develop this thing called a standard. You've heard of those kind of things. You've clearly got standards. And now his standard is so different. And like I told him, I said, I think you're, you know, he told me he thought his ideal weight was 190 pounds way back in the day, a long time ago. And this is when he was, you know, in the high 380s. And, but recently he said, you know, I think I'm going to 188. He said, because that'll be 200 pounds even. And I hate to miss that. I said, good for you. And I asked him, I said, what do you think the chance of you not making it is? He said, Alan, just watch me.
Wow.
And that's a guy who'd failed for that. I mean, and I'm not saying that to impress you about us. It's not impressive about us. We're flipping together. We didn't tell him whether to eat broccoli or whether to go have a cheeseburger. We taught him how to figure it out on his own so he can go the distance. And again, it's fun when you see people come alive, not in their, I mean, their health. Sure, he's healthier. He looks like a different person. He, you know, the nerd, when he looks forward to going to the doctor. Are you kidding me? I mean, a 73-year-old guy who looks forward to going to the doctor. I mean, that's like his highlight, because every time he goes, the nurses are kissing on him and they're saying, you're amazing. And I mean, he's got this, but what's neat to see is it's not just him. It's, you know, it's women who've struggled, whether they're 35 years old or whether they're 80 or whatever. It's possible for everybody. And when they get that power, it propels other areas of their life. And that's what we get excited about. I mean, I want them to be healthy, live till they're 121 years old like Moses did, or maybe even longer. But at the end of the day, it's when their life comes alive, man, that's the coolest stuff you've ever seen. And you know it. I mean, you've been around it.
Well, listening to you, it's just an amazing your story, and then of course the story of your clients. But I do want to, you know, touch on a few things, and I want to go first to you guys before we get into, like, you know, the dissecting, you know, the work you do. You realized, you said you were 55 years old when that day you looked at the scale and you just was like 300, you know, mark, right? Now, I do want to ask, because for our audiences, you know, first of all, I do have to tell this and say this. it is never too late. You've proven it. I mean, you know, with you guys and with the story of the 70-year-old man who was transformed, right? So that's message number one. I think everybody, doesn't matter where you are, you can turn this thing around. And hopefully without any damage, and even if there is some damage, you can probably reverse that damage because the body is resilient. Our system can do a lot of things if you give it the right, you know, conditions. So that's just, I want to just extract that from there. But I do want to go to, now, you, I mean, I'm 53, so I can tell you it takes a long time, you know. I mean, it's not a lot of time when you think about it. It just, it flies by quick, right? But it adds up, you know, and you know, there's a lot of ups and downs in our lives. And, you know, we do tend sometimes to overeat, as you said. And you know, we don't realize the weight because we get the comfort level that is acceptable and we are still moving, we're still doing things. And, you know, maybe not as you know, fit, as mobile, as active, as agile and all stuff, but we are still doing our thing. And then before you know it, it's like, you know, this is wrong. I mean, there's something here that's off. And obesity is a real critical thing across the world, as you said.
It's the worst disease of all. People who think they're obese and are healthy, it's me. I mean, I was morbidly obese. You know, Angie was right there on just at the beginning of obesity. She was chasing me, you know, but that was our medical condition. That was our medical condition, you know, as an obese, if you've ever been obese, Hurricane?
Well, I am obese technically.
I used to work with a guy who had a 31-inch waist and a 52-inch chest, and he was considered obese too.
So here's a story. I did, you know, struggle with some weight at a certain point in my life, where, I mean, sure, it wasn't a lot, but it was, you know, enough. So I was size 34. Waist, I went to size 42 with from 190 to 250, almost, you know, 245 to 250 up and down.
So you know what it feels like to have that.
Oh, yeah. It was quick.
Yeah. And the thing that happens so much is, you know, it's always that perpetual. If you're old enough, I'm 62 now. I know it's still, she slaps me if I say 60. I'll be 63 in a few months, but she slaps me if I say that. You're not 63 yet. And so, but it's so interesting, the cartoon Popeye. Okay, if you remember that cartoon Popeye, if you're almost old enough to remember a little bit of that, but I remember it as a kid, and Wimpy was the guy who would gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. And that is exactly what we do with obesity. We'll gladly pay you for it later. We're Jesus followers, you know, that I won't preach to you because if I do that, I'll take an offering. You don't want me to do that. But at the end of the day, we just believe the Creator created all food good. He just didn't say eat it all at once. He didn't say it. And there's things that are better than others, but we indulge with the excess, which is okay sometimes, once in a while. But we eat with no intention. We eat with no intention. It's like when my clients come to me and say, I'm going to do a cheat day. So I said, no, you're not going to do a cheat day. Now follow me with this. So you're not doing a cheat day. There's no such thing as a cheat day in our world. Okay. Now, if you decide to have, you know, from a just using calories as an example, I mean, just for the mathematics side of it, if you decide to have a 5,000 calorie day, that has, you know, X number of grams of fat, X number of grams of carbohydrates, and you decide to do that, you didn't cheat. You made that decision. I said, and own it. I said, and I'm fine with that. I said, just know you got to pay for it. It's kind of like going on vacation. If you decide you want to go around the world cruise, you're going to pay more for that than if you just go to the Jersey Shore for a few hours. So you got to pay for it. You have to pay for it. It's like the Wimpy, you know, phrase, I'll gladly pay you later. And we always think later is coming. And what really got our attention was one of the individuals that works on our team, Angie and I were in California, was it 3 years ago? It's about 3 years ago. And we've been doing this work. And by the way, this work, we never planned to do this work. This was like the last thing on our mind on planet Earth. That's for sure, that we'd be in this field for so long. But he was following up with some people who checked with us on, you know, getting on a Rethink Dieting workshop that we offer. And it was a guy that I talked to, I think, about 3 months prior. And he called me. He actually texted me, said, call me right now. Like, it was an emergency. And I'm like, what's going on? And, you know, I was in California. We were at a cocktail party of a mastermind group we were in. And he said, you remember, you know, so-and-so. It was a guy who was, you know, he wasn't like morbidly obese. He was obese, you know, had some weight loose, definitely. He said, I spoke to his widow. He was dead. Who's dead? And this is what people get. We all think that we know when our last day is. This, and I don't know. I don't know if we could have changed that. I don't know. That's not my mind to own. But at the end of the day, it impressed upon me that this thing called weight is such a massive, massive problem from a health standpoint that we don't know our last day. And but you can move it up. You can have those Hezekiah moments, you know, where you got a chance to change it. And I, you know, and for us, it was 2017, you know, and now, you know, what do we do now? I mean, for us, it's, you know, I'm not a weightlifter. I do some calisthenics. I do some strength building. I do some different thing, but we do stuff we like. I mean, we cycle for 20 to 35 miles a day. I mean, that's fun to us. I mean, I'm not, you know, but there's so many things you can do, and we don't do it for the burn of so we can eat more. We do it because we feel better. And I mean, we're in better shape than we were when we were 30. And, you know, she's obviously a lot younger than I am, you know, terrible. We've been married 38 years, but she's a lot younger, very childbride. So, but the point being with all of it is we just, so many people think they have all this time. And the ones who we really listen, we help people who have 50 pounds or more, typically, sometimes less, but typically it's more than 50 pounds. And I just pray for the hopeless ones. That's the ones I pray for. You know, it's like, you know, Dave, who's right now in our workshop in February, he came to us at 420 pounds at 5'8". Okay, now that's a guy, that's a heart, that's dead man walking, is what we call that. And he said, you think you can help? I said, I'm positive you can if you'll do the work. But I'm never telling you what to eat, I'm never telling you what else. You know, I go through my whole song and dance that we always do. And he said, and what did he hit? He's just about to break, he's within about 10 pounds of breaking into the 200s now. And so he's down more than 100, whatever it's like, 110 pounds more. And I don't see this impress anybody. It was him doing it. He had this ability. And when you realize that you have that ability, when you're somebody that struggles with obesity or overweight or any excess weight whatsoever, then all of a sudden the other stuff starts working better. Not just your physical health, but I'm talking about the emotional thing, because the emotional consequences of obesity are astounding. When you were 250, I'll guarantee you didn't feel as good about going out and doing things as you did when you got back in shape. I mean, you know, and this is what people miss, and that there were so many things that Angie told herself, and I'll shut up and let her talk some. She, you know, she told herself, and things that I told myself that held us back from really living a life that was sitting there waiting on us. And it was just interesting. And I mean, because, you know, you have to learn to cope if you're that big. When you're 5'11 and 299, and I went to 304, but when I was 299, I had to make jokes about how fat I was. I had to make jokes about it because it was my coping mechanism, and how healthy I was, even though I was big. And oh my gosh, I hope that chair fits me, Miss Johnson. And I make all these things, ha ha. But inside, I was dying inside. You know, you speak to that, Angie, about what stuff you've been through, like your post office thing, you know. Nah, you just talk. This is our show, so I'm kidding. Okay.
Go for it.
What Alan's alluding to is how really invisible you feel when you're, maybe not everyone, but I did, and I wasn't, as Alan said, morbidly obese. In fact, I had not weighed for several years. Not being ill in any way, it was rare that I was at our doctor. But on those rare times that you had an infection, had to go for antibiotics or whatever, and the first thing is they want you to weigh, and I was like, no, I'm not, and I made the jokes too. I'm not obese and I'm not skinny. So the nurses would always say, well, the doctor's gonna, you know, want it. I'm like, I'll talk to the doctor. And so the doctors not once ever asked me to get down, to get on the scale, because I mean, they, you know, they could tell enough about my size. But anyway, finally, I realized on some of the going outs every day, like to the post office without an insurance. We had a post office box for security reasons and to get the mail. And I noticed that someone may have only have been 2 or 3 or 5 steps ahead of me. And like you said earlier, we're from the Carolinas, and typically you hold the door for the person ahead of you. And there is like close, close, close every time. And I'm thinking, no, what's going on? It was really just an awakening.
Just invisible, yeah.
When I was just early on in the journey, Hurricane, all of a sudden, men, women, didn't matter. I mean, I might be getting out of the car and having to walk 50 steps and people be holding. I'm like, oh, no, don't, please don't do that. But then they would. But then I was like, what happened? It was that I took ownership. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those little pats on the back that, you know, that we were, I feel like I was getting that, hey, good job. You should have done that. You should never have been here, but you were. So good job for taking care of it before it gets worse. But, you know, there's a restaurant here. It's a chain that might have it up north, owned by firemen. That's all I'll say, firehouse. And you walk in and they say,
welcome to Firehouse.
And before our journey, we might have walked in separately if he was working on the island and or nearby, and he might have said, hey, let's meet for lunch, or took the kids over. I would hear everyone else while I'd be getting out of the car or whatever, walking to the door, them yelling that, welcome, welcome. I walk in, it's like, I'm not even there. So I had those two locations.
References, yeah.
To reference how I was just invisible. But it changed overnight.
That's pretty wild. It is wild. And it would drive her crazy. And it is, and we would see, and so those kind of things, I mean, you know, and this other thought too. I mean, we've had a great marriage. We've been, you know, and she loved me even though I was obese. Okay. And we hear this a lot, by the way. My wife or my husband, you know, we help men and women, and my wife, they love me. Of course they do. But here's something that I want to invite people. If you're struggling with obesity, listening to this, and you know your spouse loves you, and or your significant other loves you, I'm sure they do, regardless of what you weigh. They're going to love you when you reach your ideal weight too. They're not going to run off because you reached your ideal weight. And we miss that sometimes. It's really interesting, but we cope. She loves me anyway. You know, hey, I'm healthy, except for my morbid obesity. Oh, I can, oh man, get on it. The worst part of it all was getting on an airplane. I mean, when I had to push that button for the seatbelt extender, it's like shame central, man. Everybody turns around and they're, you know, I just praying that somebody bigger than me would sit beside me so they would think it was for them, you know. And usually, and by the way, when you're at the beach, you know, we live near the beach, you know, you find yourself comparing yourself to everybody around you. I was always looking for a fat guy, you know, an obese guy. I hate to use those terms, but somebody who is bigger than me, to make me feel okay about myself. And I can, and trust me, at the beach, you always find somebody bigger than you until you start to find less of them and less of them and less of them. But you use everything in the world to cope because it's painful emotionally. I mean, that's the biggest thing. But like I said, it's like one of our clients from, she went through our 8-week workshop, and she's down, what, 60 pounds over today? It's like 60 pounds and it's just neat to see, because she's coming alive. It's not that she was unhealthy. She's an amazing woman. She's very, you know, energetic and successful. But buddy, now that weight's coming off, it's like the floodgates of abundance are opening in her life that have nothing, you know, and I'm not talking about maybe they get more money. Maybe it's not just the health. It's the emotional consequence and all these things that just stop us dead in our tracks. I mean, it's like you lift, obviously, right?
A little bit.
Yeah. What if you couldn't lift for 2 years? Like you get some, you get emotional support by lifting. It's not just, you know, motion drives your emotions, as I know you know, but it's also, it becomes your identity. And if you couldn't lift for a couple of years, and even if you just got thin and you weren't muscular, it's like it messes with your identity. And so it's really amazing to see this. We've studied it a lot as we've gone through this process of, you know, and it started for us. I mean, and just so you know, the reason that we don't tell people what, you know, what exercise to do with the weight loss plan, that everybody like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. It was interesting. Our mentor, who'd been a mentor for about 20 years, Dan Miller, he passed away from pancreatic cancer. He was technically our first client. We helped him drop 17 pounds in about a month and a half. He said, man, you ought to coach this, because that's, we train coaches and all. And I said, man, I don't want to tell people what to eat. It's just stupid. They already know. And because people used to come to us, you know, when you lose a bunch of weight, what do people say? What do you do? What did you do? That's what they ask. Because what they're really asking is, have you figured out the magical way I can eat as much as I want, whenever I want, whatever I want? Because I know there's a we know there's a magical way, but it's interesting. But I used to tell people that this lady, one of my work colleagues from the Carolinas, he said, I'm going to have somebody call you that's really struggling with weight, and your story is really inspiring, and she needs help. And I said, okay, you know, I was just helping a friend. And she asked me, it was asking Angie and I, you know, what did you eat? And so we told her what we ate. We was completely nutritious. I mean, it was, you know, there's no secrets. It's just that, you know, nutrition is pretty simple. I mean, you there are better ways for different people, different body types, all that. But at any rate, she was over 100 pounds overweight. She was in cosmetology, very successful, I'm sure. And she immediately, when I started telling her what we ate, she became a microbiologist. She immediately became, now she didn't have no microbiology training to my knowledge, but she started rattling off all these things. Oh, I can't eat that for this reason, this reason, this reason, this reason, this reason. I'm like, okay. And I said, that's fine. I mean, no skin off me. I mean, I'm just trying to help you. I said, but I got a question for you. It just hit me because it was just so funny. I said, what'd you have for lunch? And she said, well, I went to Taco Bell. Nothing against Taco Bell, but I said, oh, Taco Bell, the stuff tastes great there. What'd you have? Then she was a chimichanga with extra cheese and churros and all these different, you know, I mean, all these different things. I'm like, wow, what'd you have to drink? So it was Mountain Dew, of course, you know, not the diet kind, but, you know, and I mean, you know, nutrition. Now, she's a microbiologist with the food I was telling her, but she was eating this. And so the next natural question for me to ask her, you know what it was, Hurricane, was what did you have for dessert? And she had Kit Kats. Well, I love Kit Kats. Those are amazing. Chocolate with the wafer and everything. I said, have a nice life. I hope you find what you need. And I told my Angie that day, now we weren't working with Rethink Dieting and all this hadn't occurred at that point. And I said, I will never, as long as I live, tell an obese person what to eat, as long as I live. I said, because they already know, that I've proven it many times, they already know, and they just are willing to take responsibility for it. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to, you know, there's a lot of stuff there. I just wanted to kind of interject a couple of things. Because there's, the first thing is, you know, for you, for me, for anyone, who gets to a level of obesity. And now, of course, the technical obesity, you know, I think most of us will probably fall in that one. I mean, I'm supposed to be 170 at my height, and I'm, you know, 197 now.
Your body fat ratio is very, very small. So yeah, that's
well,
it. Yeah,
that's but that's now. But then when I was at 250, I mean, you know, I looked like a, you know, little like a ball. my friends were making fun of me, like I shrunk, right? You just, the only thing that shows is the body, your face is, you know, inflated and all stuff. But you know, it's something, you said something that's very interesting. You used the word fat, and they said we don't use that, you know, obese. But, you know, I think we live in a reality that has been distorted a little bit, because the truth has been, you know, almost like you can't go there anymore, right? You can't say things. And so people, they get in the comfort, I'm obese, I'm not fat. I'm, you know, like if you say fat, you know, it's kind of offensive. You say obese, it's not so much, right? You know, when you look at it, it's actually worse. Obese is like the next level, you know, bad, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like, we have this problem now in society that you can't tell people the reality or the truth because it hurts sometimes, and people, you have to be diplomatically correct.
you know, Byron Katie, who is a speaker author, has a one of my favorite quotes ever, and she says, "When I argue with reality, I lose, but only 100% of the time. Only 100% of the time." And so we argue with this reality like it's not there. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, like when I saw my, in fact, it was funny. I did, you know, I was usually the guy on this side of the camera rather than this side of the camera in the past, you know, when I had, so, but when we actually had a picture taken of us at an insurance event about a week after I saw that 300 on and four on the scale. And I mean, I looked at it and I said, oh my God, you know, it's, I don't look like I weigh 300. I look like I weigh 500. I mean, it was just, you know, when you really take a hard look at it and, you know, and I don't call people fat. Listen, I understand it's hard. You know, we're extremely, we live in the world we live in working with people. It's a no shame zone. But we people have to own their reality. And that's the first thing. I mean, if you really want to change, I mean, it's like you have a, you know, we're not behavioral, we're not doctors, we're not nutritionists, we're not dietitians, we're not physical fitness experts. We're just people who failed miserably for decades. We were failures. We were absolute failures. We couldn't deny it. Angie, beautiful woman. I was four kids, you know, I was fairly attracted to her regardless of her weight. But she, you know, she was carrying the baby weight of our youngest child who was only 15 years old. Okay. 15, you can't at some point, and she knew that was really me. I was carrying, you know, all this excess weight of, you know, the challenges that men have. I mean, we have, you know, we have to provide, we have to do the, you know, be the good dad and all those things. And rather, you know, I didn't drink much. You know, I have a beer once in a while, nothing wrong with that. I wasn't a drug addict. I didn't gamble. I didn't run around on my wife, but boy, put an extra bowl of ice cream in front of me at midnight, man, I'm in for that. And it's just like, you know, we think that has more consequences than anything. And in this world of abundance we live in, we're so blessed to be living in this abundant time, even though I know there's a lot of crazy in the world and there's a lot of things. But listen, if somebody steps on the scale and they see a number that's incomprehensible to them, you just can't. I mean, unless you are training for, you know, for a bodybuilding championship or something. People know. I mean, people have to get honest with themselves. And that was me. I was brutally honest with myself that day. March the 2nd, 2017 was a day that was one of the hardest days of my life. It was also I look back, it's one of the best days of my life now. I mean, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, you said it, you know, perfectly. People are usually in denial. They don't want to accept the reality. Because it changing means changing everything around their lifestyle, right? It means that they have to commit to be accountable to make that long-term commitment with, first of all the pleasures that they seem to have with food is going to have to end somehow. And so the transition is hard. The mind, and it's also, there's the mental piece, right? You want to feel good about it mentally so you accept it as is, yet you know there's something wrong. I mean, you do know it's not healthy when you have weight on you. I don't care who's what watching and or listening. When you start gaining weight, you can't bend down to tie your shoes. You know, you have a hard time walking. You have a hard time going the stairs. You can't play with your grandkids or kids. You know, there's so many things. You can't run. You know, you're heavy breathing. All these things, are, like you said, I mean, on the plane, that's a problem, right? You're sitting, forget just the seatbelt. I mean, just the seats themselves are tiny. You know, it's like
praying nobody sits beside you. Got one of those arms that you can lift up, so you got room. I mean,
all these things are real, folks. And so we're not. Yes. By the way, we will never insult someone. And say, hey, you've had this. That is old school. When I said being honest about it, is that, you know, let's face what it is. When you gain weight, you look in the mirror, you know something's wrong. You feel, you look at the scale, and it shows a number that shouldn't be there. Then you know something's wrong. Now, it's a question, as you said. That needs to be said. Now, you said something interesting. You said we were failures. So I'm going to reframe that for you. You know, sure. I think you just were a few decades success story. That's it.
What ended up happening, and I receive what you're saying. I mean, it's the truth. But as we when we have our clients do something called radical responsibility. I mean, it's just like this. If I'm, you know, and this was really impacted on us when I reached my ideal weight range in 2017, one of my closest friends for years and years, he's never had a struggle with weight. He's always been very thin, but he was an alcoholic. I mean, he still is, but he hasn't had a drink since 1993. And he called me up and he said, brother, I am so proud of you for getting this weight off. I was so worried about you. He was at our wedding back 38 years ago. I mean, he and his wife have known for years. He's been there for us a lot of times and very successful man in business. But he called me, he said, you've really got it harder than me. I said, what do you mean? You're an alcoholic. He said, yeah, I'm an alcoholic, but I don't have to walk into a bar or have a drink as long as I live, but you got to eat. And I can tell you exactly where I was driving my vehicle on Amelia Island at that time, exactly where it was, because I almost ran off the road when he said it. And this is the thing that people have to understand is every day's day one. I mean, does that mean I never eat some? No, heck no. Does it mean you never can have? No. In fact, our clients, when it's so funny, when there's an apple pie story, a guy who was in our program early, several years ago, that dropped about 60 pounds, and he was came to a call with us, and he said, you know what I have for breakfast this morning? I said, what? He said, I had apple pie. I said, good for you. You figured this thing out, didn't you? He said, I did. I did everything you said, and I figured out, you know, he just did the common sense things. He didn't eat it the day before. It was Easter when he was eating other things, and it didn't derail him. He knew you can plan this stuff. You can have some. Does it mean he gets it every day? No. He does it every day. He's going to blow up again. And so but the point being is, it doesn't mean never. It just means maybe a little while. And it's like we talk about this a lot. It's the historical account of the Exodus of the Israelites leaving Egypt and going to the Promised Land. Okay. It's an 11-day walk, but it took them 40 years because they were looking for shortcuts. Every one of them were looking for shortcuts. And that's what I did for 35 years. I was looking for, it was the Zone diet. Nothing wrong with the Zone diet. It was Weight Watchers. Nothing wrong with Weight Watchers. It was this diet. It was Jenny Craig. It was that. It was, I'm going to try this exercise thing. I'm going to do the Nautilus thing. I've done 70, 80 different, we counted them up one to 80 different diets. And what it was is I was unwilling to go the distance of the 260 days. Which it would have been that long in the past. I was unwilling to do it, and I wanted the shortcut, so it took me 35 years to go 260 days.
Wanted the miracle pill. Pop it up, and it's done, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Hey, that's exactly it. And it's just like the people, and what breaks our heart, we take so many clients now that have had weight loss surgery. And weight loss surgery, listen, no shame for anybody having it. I know people, if their physician tells them that's the thing, then I'm not going to argue with it. If you don't change internally, to keep doing, you're going to be right back where you were. And we see that a lot. Yep. And in the drugs that are out now, they're quote miracle drugs. Listen, I know they have a ton of side effects, but the greatest side effect of all is they can't stay on them forever. And when they come off, it's straight back up. And so the body can only take so much. And I just, Angie and I talk about it. We live this stuff all the time. And
the culture is not helping. When you walk in a store like a Target or see a Victoria's Secret ad now, and we're making it okay to carry another 100 pounds. And it's not to shame anyone there again, but it's not okay to say it's okay when it's not, when someone's life is, could be shortened or whatever because of that 50 or 100 pounds. But it's evident wherever you turn now in advertisements that we're wanting it to be okay.
And there,
instead of telling the truth in love,
that
you don't have to be that way.
The greatest way to be a truth teller in this situation, people say all the time, well, how do I talk to my friends about this? How do I do this? What you do is you show them. You live it. You live it. Like, I'll guarantee you, Hurricane, when you went from 250 back down in weight and got in great shape like you're in right now, I'll guarantee you people around you changed too. We've never met. You and I've never met. We met today. We met today. But I will guarantee you that you had people around you who struggled because they saw your example And they changed. I said, well, if Hurricane can do it, I might can do it. I mean, he's a lot sharper than I am. He's from New Jersey, and everybody from New Jersey is really sharp and all that. But at the end of the day, you show them. It's like with our kids. You know, my dad smoked back in the day because smoking was okay. That was a cool thing. There was no health ramifications like they know about today. I saw he quit, passed away at a ripe old age, but I didn't smoke. And I'm not condemning people for smoking. It's kind of crazy anymore. But I didn't smoke because I didn't want my kids to smoke. So if you don't want your kids to be morbidly obese, do something about it. If you don't want your family, if you want to save your husband's life, you want to save your wife's life, and they struggle with obesity, show them. Live it out. Live it out. That is the greatest thing we can do in anything, is be the example. Is it easy? No. It's not easy. I'm not going to tell you it is. I don't tell anybody it is. Is it possible? Listen, if a guy who's, I mean, the example I gave you earlier, and we've got another example, a guy who was a wheelchair, never been on a diet in his life and dropped almost 200 pounds with us, never been on a diet in his life. And we wouldn't tell him what date, but he followed the process because it's not that complicated. It's kind of like money. You know, it's Dave Ramsey. A lot of people know who he is. I mean, Dave Ramsey tells people to earn more than they spend. So he tells them, how can it be so simple? And he's built what, a $250, $300 million company, maybe more than that now, on that concept. It's kind of like that with weight. I hate to say it.
You've touched on a couple of things that are super for our audiences. Is that, first of all, I love the concept that you don't force people into what to eat and what they don't. I mean, because there's people know, and there's plenty of information about that, and there's plenty of shows and discussions and, you know, specialists that can guide you, and coaches just for that purpose as well. And some, as you said, good example, when you tell someone, you know, something about the food, they're going to get like, you know, really flimsy about it, right? Because they, like, you know, they get technical, like, because they don't want to be judged on, like, you know, their decision making here, right? And now you can cut touching on them. Now, some people will accept it, but a lot of people will be like, you know, almost taking it by you know, a defensive, you know, stand, right? So that's one. You know, you stated something that is interesting when you stated about the God, you know, created all good food, right? All good food is created, you know, good. Here's the challenge. If you look in the last, you know, 50 years, the food that we have currently, you know, there is the natural food that God created. There is a synthetic food that is man-made, which has nothing to do with it. You mentioned, take, you know, Kit Kats or whatever you mentioned, right? Yeah, that is, there's nothing healthy in there, right? You talked about all the bad things that are out there today that we can snack on, and, you know, it's not real food. And so basically, you're just damaging yourself by doing stuff. Now, the thing, it creeps up slowly. You don't see it. It's one little pound here, one pound there. And then, you know, you get comfortable over time. Then you realize it, but then it's, again, going back, it's like, you know, as you said, you were not ready for that 260-plus, you know, day journey. And you've tried all the diets. That's the other thing. People have this misconception about, I'm just going to take a diet, and that's it. It's not a diet. I mean, because diets are not forever. Diets are going to be temporary, and you cannot maintain them forever. They cost money, and they're getting commitment. Similarly, now all you need to do is do it right, know what to eat, what not to eat, when to eat, how to eat, and so on and so forth, and add to it stuff. Now, again, there's formulas that you use, and I'm going to get to that. You know, you have to share with us a little bit of just a little bit of highlights there. But really, that's the problem. People kind of like get into this weight, you know, journey until to a point where they don't. Now it gets, as I love what you said about the mental aspect of it. You know, people know when things are not really where they're supposed to look. I mean, and I love the comparison. You go to the beach, you're looking like, you know, hey, where do I fit? You know, and, you know, sometimes people will almost make it appear that they're comfortable, you know, in their own shape, which is nothing wrong with that. But I know, at least I can guess that in deep inside, because I can tell you when I had that problem, I know there was something wrong. It's not that I need anybody to tell me. I just didn't want to accept the fact that I'll have to make that change. And you're right. You know, when I changed, even people were like, how did you do that? You know, it took some commitment. It took, like, you know, me being aware and making the necessary steps towards a better health. And even to date, like, I know that if I fail in my system, I will go back again. Weight is the easiest thing to gain, especially with the types of food we have now. You know, you can, you know, lose all your weight, like 10, 20 pounds in a month and get it all in a 2-day, you know, period. If you just watch, you know, don't watch your stuff. So it's critical thing. Yeah. So let's talk about your system, because it sounds interesting and intriguing, because you don't tell people what to eat. You don't tell them what to do. You had to help them lose the weight. And you got some big numbers there.
Well, first of all, let me throw a couple of things at you that we start our clients with. And this is a little inside baseball, for lack of a better word. Okay. So number one, a lot of people, you know, they just went for me at 304 pounds or 275, 280, 290, whatever it was, or for whatever it was, I just wanted to lose the weight. That's what I wanted to lose. I never got really clear on what. I never really got clear. And so what I always ask people, I said, if the creator of the universe walked into your house with the version of yourself you were created to be at your present age, what does that version weigh? The one you were created like perfectly, not the one you think you should be at age 60 or 50 or 40, or just because you've had 8 children, or just because you're 70 years old, or just because whatever, but the version that you were created to be, the best version, what is it? They always know. They don't have to consult a chart. They always know. And it's really almost comical, some of the changes. Sometimes we have people change 3 pounds or something. Like, are you kidding me? He said, I didn't think you believe I could be that way. I said, heck yeah, I believe you can be that way. So number one, get clear on what you want. That's the first thing. You had some clarity on what you wanted when you started working out. You had clarity on it. You saw some people, and so you had a destination. Just like if you were starting a business, you have to know where you're going. Okay, number one. Second thing is, in what if, God forbid, the people you loved most in the world were taken hostage. God forbid this were to happen. I don't wish this on it, but they were taken hostage. And they've literally, and you get a call, and the kidnappers have your family. They have your wife. They have your husband. They have your daughter. They have your son. They have whoever. And they literally are going to take their life. God forbid this were to happen. Unless you release, and we prefer releasing weight than losing it, because we look for things we lose. So anyway, so you release 1 pound. Now that's reasonable. 1 pound a week until you reach that ideal weight. But here's the catch. You can't ask a doctor. You can't ask a nutritionist. You can't ask a dietitian. You can't ask a physical fitness expert. You cannot even consult Google. You can't, or the kidnapper will know, and they'll take your family's life. Could you save your family? 100% of the people I've asked this of thousands of people, not a few. Everybody knows. And the most interesting answer to that was one of the first people years ago. This guy was in a wheelchair. If he had to walk more than 10 feet, and he'd had some accidents. He'd gone up to almost well over 400 pounds. And he'd never been on a diet. I'd never met anybody in this situation, never been on a diet that overweight. And he said, but I've never been, what am I going to eat? And I proposed that same thing as a 2 daughters and a wife he loves dearly. And I said, what would you do? And he said, I got it. I'm going to start by eating less. Eureka, start there. And see, and I say this not to, and I say this, it sounds funny, but he was dead serious. It led to him dropping almost 170, 80 pounds at his weight loss peak. I mean, I can't remember what the exact numbers were, but it was, that's where you start, and you learn as you go. You learn what works. And guess what? You're going to find that green vegetables are going to probably be better than Kit Kats in your journey. You're going to also find that alcohol is going to be it's going to be hard to drink alcohol and lose weight along the way. You're going to find that lean protein is going to be better than eating all the fatty stuff. You're going to find that all the packaged stuff in the center of the store is not going to work very well. You try it. I tell people, test it. So when people come to us, Angie and I, what we have them do, we have them become experts on themselves. And this is what we don't want to take. So many people go, well, I don't want to count anything. I don't want to do this. I don't want to meal prep. And I don't like to cook. And I'm like, okay, how's that working for you right now? You're 125 pounds overweight. How's that working? And I said, you got to do the work. And so here's what the work is. First, you've got to be an expert on yourself. The person sitting between your elbows is the person that you have to know the best. And I'm not saying not to get attention from doctors. Listen, there's all sorts of things out there, but at the end of the day, if they knew how to get you there, you'd already be there. Okay, you'd already be there. This is a personal responsibility. We have people track everything because the answer is, I don't know. When they ask me, should I go keto? I said, I don't know. Why don't we test them both? And they'll start testing it. And what we're really looking for, and this is what I was looking for in the 70, 80 diets that, and exercise plans that I attempted, tried, which is such a word shouldn't even be in the English language. But anyway, it was, but all those things that I tried, what I was really trying to do was see how I could beat the system, how I could have as much as I wanted to eat, whenever I wanted to eat, and whatever I wanted to eat, because I really wanted to eat that and to beat the system. But when you put the responsibility on the person sitting between their elbows, okay, they start to get educated. They start to find that maybe everybody, you know, if somebody wants to do intermittent fasting, there's some value in that, but that's fine. But everybody intermittent fasts unless you can figure out a way to eat while you're sleeping. So maybe you find out that there are trigger times when you shouldn't be eating. And we've done an unscientific study, and 100% of the people we've worked with are emotional eaters. Only 100%. They all are. Just like I was. We eat to feel better. We want to feel that feeling. But and so what we do is we eat that food that we know we shouldn't eat, that, or more of that food that we maybe even we should, and just overeat to feel better about being overweight, only to end up more overweight the next day than we were. And then we start the vicious circle of insanity. It's just a circle of insanity. So we have people get super clear on it. And then they start educating themselves. Like I said, they educate themselves and they find out, gosh, if I drink more water, I feel better. How about that? And now I'm starting to move a little, and my inflammation's not as much now because I stopped eating all the carbohydrates that I was eating. Because, you know, those two bags of Doritos that were single serving that said family on them for some reason were causing me a problem. And now I chose not to eat them. Maybe I can have one Dorito, even though it's not even really food. Maybe I can eat one of those once in a while, not a bag, just the one Dorito or whatever along the way, and I won't kill me. But they start figuring out how it works. And it's like, and it's so funny. And I say this, I mean, we're honored for some of the people that come to us. These are really intelligent people, okay? These are not dummies. We don't take dummies. They're intelligent people, but they come to us and they said, oh my gosh, it works. I'm just like, no kidding. And then they start developing this identity like we talked about earlier, kind of like you have. You have an identity of being a very fit individual. And we teach them about accountability. Not finding somebody to knock a Twinkie out of their hand when they're at the golf course. That's, we don't recommend that. We teach people to just like, you know, it's a, the gentleman I talked about earlier, because he's a unicorn. He, like, I've never met anybody like him. And that I mentioned earlier, that was Walter Walker. His, the reason that we took him as a client is because he had 45 years of successful real estate sales. You know how long the average realtor lasts in the real estate market? This guy had 40 sessions. I later asked about it. I didn't know how many it was. And still stayed the course. I said, yes. And so that was our aha moment. So I would say to your people that are your listeners that are listening to this, find something in your life you've stuck with. Apply that same muscle to this, just like you, they didn't make the lightweight put the muscles on you. Okay. They did. I mean, you had to go in the gym. You wanted to get fit and, you know, look great, you know, for health reasons. You like looking good. I mean, sure you do. But you lifted, you had to face some resistance. You have to be, it's resistance building. And so the resistance for somebody with obesity is the greatest health concern on the planet is obesity. Fat people. It's obesity. It is. Call it what you want. And I, by the way, one of our clients from years ago, he's a successful commercial airline pilot. He dropped 90 pounds with us. And when I was interviewing him on one of our success stories, I said, why did you come to me? He said, because you were the only guy who would call it what it was. He said, my doctor wouldn't say it. My family wouldn't say it. And I said, I didn't call you obese. He said, yeah, you did. You asked me if my kids were obese or were like I was, or were they a normal weight? Were my kids obese also, or were they a normal weight? When you said that, you called me obese. I said, well, I didn't mean to be offensive about it. He said, no. He said, I appreciate it because you were the first person who was willing to say it other than myself. He was saying it to himself. And it was, so you can't deny reality, but I'll never forget, he followed a process, and it was so funny. I mean, can you imagine losing a bunch of weight, traveling anywhere in the world for free as your job? One of the best restaurants in the world, going to Germany. I remember him saying, I loved going to get white asparagus when it's in season in Germany. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, it's like going down to the local restaurant for him. And so he had all this. So he was having to fight this different kind of battle than most people have, because he had very little control over his location. And I remember he messaged me one day, about 4 days in a row, that he was just really, the scale wasn't moving. And it was one of those plateau times, maybe it was 5 days, I don't remember. But he kept his data, and he went back over it, and I said, what's your data? I said, you tell me what's wrong. And he went back, he says, oh my gosh, I see what I ate on such and such a day. He became such an expert on this. He said, I'm positive that's what caused the plateau. Now, here's what's interesting. What's interesting is not that he was on a plateau because of that food. It's because it didn't discourage him to know what he weighed. And by the way, we want our clients on the scale every single day, every day. Not once in a while. I don't care if it makes you feel bad. It's just information. Get over it. That's all it is just information. And so he knew his information. He knew his data. And he was able to not let it overwhelm him emotionally, so that he went to one of those places and ate as much as you want, whatever you want, whenever you want it. And so he stayed the course midway through. And because that's what we do. We get discouraged when we hit that plateau. We get discouraged. I mean, just like Tracy, I just saw it. One of our clients, the lady was mentioned earlier, she was at a plateau, and I just said superstar to her, superhero, something like that, because she sent us a note that she was, you know, crossed another weight barrier. And it's just knowing yourself. And then when you know yourself, it's, I think it was Shakespeare wrote it. He said, to thyself be true. Okay. I don't quote Shakespeare very often down here in the deep South, just for the record. So I'm educated, but I don't quote Shakespeare. But to thyself be true. You have to be true to yourself. And if you don't know yourself, you know what you can eat, Hurricane. You know what your tendencies are. You've educated yourself. You've gotten education. You might not have, I don't know all the, I hope you have a million degrees, but very likely the greatest education was just learning what your body reacted to. You have leg day, I'll guarantee. You have arm day, where you work on different things. You don't do leg day 7 days a week, do you?
Oh, that would be insane.
Why not? I mean, because you know, you've learned, and you didn't know that before you started. Did you?
Of course, you got to do your research. You got to learn.
That's it. You got to learn, and that's what we say to people. But and this is where we work with our clients. We're not psychologists or psychiatrists. We're kind of like Edison. I use Edison example if you want me to frame it a better way. We found 35 years worth of ways not to lose weight.
Until told you, 30 years success.
We found 260 days that did. That's kind of like, you know, 10,000, I think it was 10,000 failures. But he said, no, that was this was an experiment with 10,001 steps when he invented the light bulb. So, at the end of the day, this, just people who are listening to this, know that it's possible. I know it can be discouraging when you look in the mirror. I know when you're laying down at night at 4 a.m. and you're thinking, I know when you go to a theme park with your kids and you know not to get on the ride because they're going to ask you to step away from the ride because you're too heavy. They can't put a seatbelt on you. I know that when you step on the airplane that you want to cry every time. I mean, I know that. We've experienced these things. Just know that your weight, if you look at your weight as a gift, it's a gift to get rid of. And know that what's ahead of you could be way more, so many more things possible than you could ever imagine. I want you to be healthy. I want you to live a long time. I want you to have great, great, great grandchildren and all those kind of things. At the end of the day, we were all created to have this extraordinary life. I don't believe anybody's here by accident. I don't believe you're by accident. I don't believe Angie is, me, none of our kids. And your greatest journey ahead of you may be your way. That may be your greatest trial. And that's what we see happening when people get that kind of triumph. And man, it gives me God bumps to think about it. But what would our world look like if people stopped running from the personal responsibility of it, stopped looking for the shortcut and just did the work? And I know most people won't, but somebody's listening to this might.
you know, it is what the concept is, not strange to all, to any of us out in the world, because we have to apply this in anything, any part of our lives. You know, sure. I think the problem is the struggle is like, it's heavy when literally, I mean, no pun intended, when you get the weight, it is a heavy burden to lose the weight, because now it's a lot of work and it's not going to be overnight and you're not going to see the results right away. And you know, people, like you said, they want the shortcut. There you go. I like that.
They want it to look like this. They want success to look like this. Here's what success looks like. This is what success looks like. This is exactly what it looks like. Oh, you're going up here, and then and then you're there. That's what success is. And then right here, where was I with the camera? That's day one, by the way.
Yeah.
That's that. You thought this was day one. That's day one. You're in day one today. Angie and I are too. That's where we're on our bikes and 30-mile-an-hour winds today.
And I love that. Every day is your day one. I mean, it's a new day. It's a new beginning. It's Friday. You can turn bad, you know, in the same day. That's when you can spike up. You want to maintain. So I love that. And, you know, here's one thing that we kind of talked in general about it, but what you are lucky. And sometimes people may not be as lucky, because you might get diseases, illnesses, and things like that that may not be reversible, you know, if you gain the weight, especially at early age. You know, now you live a very difficult life. So the idea, you know, why do you even want this? Live a happier life, have, you know, grandkids, do all the stuff. Enjoy as long as you live. You want to be very vital, happy, active, and all the stuff. And, you know, because obesity will be synonymous to illnesses, high cost, and very unhappy life. I mean, whether we like it or not, it's just what it is. You can make it happy because you accept it, you know, as is, and you just kind of deal with that and you make things happen. I think that's what people usually do. They'll accept it and they'll just kind of, like, you know, almost sugarcoat things.
They don't just accept it. What they do is they cope. They
perfectly said.
They cope.
People don't realize how it affects their spouse, their children. For me, even though I carried some extra weight, he was in a different class. I had no idea what he weighed. I just knew that it was dangerous.
It was a bunch.
And for years, and he did not realize this. I did not, you know, badger him about his weight, but I was worried that he might not wake up the next morning, that I would wake up to find a heart attack, stroke, whatever, because of his weight. And our children worried, and I didn't realize to what effect even until we were on the journey. But some things came out from our teenage children that were sad for them. You know, they didn't want to, our youngest was afraid to bring other kids home if they had been parents. Now, if the
friends for the kids had
chubby or fat parents, then it was okay to bring them home. They weren't going to laugh at her mom and dad, but a neighbor would laugh. A neighbor would text her, "Oh, I see your mom's working out in the yard. Ha ha ha." Things like that.
Yeah.
She came and said, "Mom, please don't work out in the yard when we're home from school or, you know, or whatever." And I was like, I was big enough that people knew what our daughter was being teased. And another one of our children, was really, really worried. And we didn't realize to what effect until after, like I said, until we're way on the journey and some things that came out. So you just don't know how others are hurting and worried, and how that emotional energy that, because of our lack of self-control, how it was impacting our 15-year-old, our 12-year-old, our 8-year-old, and even our older son who was out of the house at the time. But, you know, when we reversed everything and we're on our journeys, the second son started a YouTube channel. He was studying to be not at 15, but the next year, a few years later, sommelier. He worked for a restaurant and started a YouTube channel. Our older son went back to school and
became an
attorney. And even though he thought he was too old at 28, because he watched us.
So if you don't think that your weight is causing the people you love consequences that have nothing to do with whether you're healthy or not, a lot of times, I mean, so one of my sons said to Angie, said, no, I don't mind. Because the truth. I said, I guess dad doesn't love us enough to get his weight off. Ooh.
That's the one that hurt me the worst.
We can fight, we can argue with reality, but you're going to lose, but only 100% of the time. It's something that we're passionate about, not because we've been there. And I guess that's really the bottom line for all of them. The reason we get our message out is just be hopeful. I mean, people can do this. If we can do it, anybody can do it. We've seen people that are in hopeless situations with their health, medical conditions, that they still figure out a way. There's always a way. There is. Is it easy? God, no. If you want easy, that's not going to work. Easy is going through the drive-thru one extra time.
Waiting until tomorrow or the next day or Monday or two or next month is not going to make it any easier. No. It's just going to have you at a higher weight, to lose, more mm-hmm. weight to lose.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen to you. Right, Angie. No, go ahead. Didn't mean to cut you off.
What was that?
No, I didn't mean to cut you
off. It doesn't get any easier. Oh, thank you. I'm just saying to whomever might be listening, it does not get easier to wait. It only will become more of a burden on your body, those around you, and all the things that you may be missing. Every day you wait, you are giving up what could be the best days, and what we feel like for us, we know mm-hmm. are the best days. Mm-hmm. We're living those days, and there's more to come. Mm-hmm. But if you wait, you're missing out on your family, all experiences, mm-hmm. perhaps love. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had that happen mm-hmm. in our community as well. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, our recent dieting community.
Yeah,
I have to say, listen to you as a powerful duo. With your own personal experiences, I mean, is that real as it gets? Because you've been there, you know how it is. You know what it felt like for you, for your kids, for the surrounding, for your friends and so on and so forth. And you know what the change made for you, and you know how it's making other people feel better about themselves. And your style is working, and your formula obviously has success, outcome, and it does, work towards everybody. Cause I think a lot of people are afraid because what is going to be, I'm going to make, a lot of choices and different things. I have to work out. I can't do a lot of stuff. It's hard to start lifting, but your style is different. You're allowing them to take the time to get there, but they have to start. You give them the awareness that to know what they need to start doing. And that's about it. And the rest is history.
Yeah. I mean, every journey is different. Every single client's different. There are no two alike. I mean, but when people do what we call get it, when they get it, when they really realize that we've had medical professionals come through our process and they're like, they get it. They finally get it. They realize that, because 25% of medical professionals are obese. I mean, and they know, they've been through all the education with it. I mean, you see, But when people get that they have the power to change this, they really do. And it's 98% behavior and thinking that has to change. The 2% is the strategy. The strategy is the easy part. I mean, that's the easy part. It's just like you. You were not an expert at bodybuilding, weightlifting, the different things you did until you take, it's Martin, I love Martin Luther King's quote, you don't need to see the whole staircase, you just need to see the first step. And just like more today, you probably have all kind of knowledge that I don't have on different things, but see, I know me. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen when I eat a ribeye. And by the way, ribeye is a second degree vegetable, I'm positive. But I can tell you exactly what it's going to do to my body. I can tell you exactly how I'm going to feel. I can tell you what's going to happen when I eat wheat. I don't eat wheat a lot because I've discovered that I have a tendency to wheat to have a lot of inflammation with wheat. So I can tell you those things because I took the time and learned. I took the time and learned me. It impacts Angie. Different foods impact Angie differently than they do me, but everybody's different. And so when you learn those things and you realize that you're in control and you get this thing called certainty, oh my gosh, when I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm going to reach my ideal weight, man, that's a fun time.
Well,
it doesn't matter what you do. What's that?
Well, no. So the question now is, how long is your, program? I mean, is it indefinite? Is it until someone drops a certain weight? Is it, how does it work?
We have different, our foundation course that we have, our Rethink Dieting 8-week workshop is that's our most popular one. They get everything they need in there. Now, they're not going to reach their ideal weight in 8 weeks and, but a lot of people come back to us for more because they start getting in the community and they love that accountability and they love that the growth that they get in there. So we have clients that will stay with us for a very long time, but honestly, they get everything they need in the 8-week process. The 8-week process is intensive. They have a lot of work to do. And I'm not talking about physical work. I mean, we want them to exercise if they're healthy enough, if they're in a healthy enough situation. But at the end of the day, it's the thinking. It's the stuff between the ears that's got to change and that they have to learn along the way. But if they'll apply those techniques, I know, we've just seen it happen over and over. I mean, it's like when we see somebody get it and it happened, I said, gosh, it worked again. Who knew? It worked again.
The workshops are online or are they live? How does that work?
We do. Here's where I would tell people to start. Okay. Because number one, they can book a call with our team and go to transformmyfuture.com/apply. That's one way to find it. Because first thing I'm going to say this to you, Hurricane, we are not for everybody. And I'm not saying that to be condescending. We don't offer our process to everybody, not because we're bad people, but if we don't believe it's a fit for us to work with them, we don't offer it to them. And so I don't say that we want everybody to succeed, but we also know that everybody's not a perfect fit. So they need to go through that process, but transformmyfuture.com/apply. But we have a training that we do and we've had, this is where I'd encourage people to start. Just go to transformmyfuture.com/EM. EMBC. There you go. I couldn't remember the EMBC for your audience. So they can go there and they can watch the 5 steps that Angie and I used to lose 192 pounds in 260 days together. She didn't lose 192 pounds. No. So that was together. So, but I would say, honestly, if people would listen to this and know that this is something they'd like to really find more about, book a call with our team, transformmyfuture.com/apply. And we'll get to, and on that call, we'll get to, what they're really, how bad their struggle is with weight. That's a big piece, regardless whether they got 50 pounds or 300 pounds. What is the struggle? How committed they are to solving it, because that's big. I mean, if somebody's not committed to solve it, nothing's going to work. And it's like, one client that came to us recently that I didn't offer a program to a year ago, not because they weren't a good person, but I knew they weren't ready. I was positive, and she's doing amazing in the program right now. Angie, who is tougher than me, offered her the program. She came and she's doing amazing. She said, "You were right not to offer it to me back then. I wouldn't have done good," because we don't want to just, have somebody invest to come into it. We want them to win. Mm-hmm. We want them to win in a big way. But then we want to know how bad the problem is, weight, how committed they are to solving it, and then if we're a right match for it, and they can book one of those calls, totally free call. And see, but they can also go to transformmyfuture.com/EMBC. Did I do it right? EMBC. Angie set that up. She's a technology expert. and they can watch about a training that really will help them. We actually had somebody last year that said it saved their life. They, on Mother's Day, sent us something from the ICU. The training saved their life. I'm like, oh my God, you gotta be kidding. They heard us on the podcast. They listened to the training. They said it alerted them to some things going on in their body. And I'm not a doctor. And they said, thank you. I was listening to it for my husband, but you might've saved my life. I said, wow, you're welcome. What a story. So,
you're trying again. I love that. Transform my future. I mean, you transform lives, you know, as you go. And it is, there's always a great satisfaction to that when you're doing work that's helping others. And especially you see the results. This is tangible. You come in with certain weight, you come out with a different weight, and you're heading, you know, it doesn't matter what the time frame. I mean, when you have a lot of power, a lot of problems, they're gonna take some time, but sure, it doesn't matter. The end result is what matters, right? And the sooner the better, of course, but it takes the commitment.
It does. And everybody's different. But at the end of the day, like I said, I say this over and over because it's so easy to get discouraged. I remember how discouraged I used to be. I mean, I hit it. I was positive, personality, that kind of thing. But deep down inside, I was really discouraged. I was really ashamed. And it really hurt deeply. And I would say to everybody in there, listen, God didn't make mistakes, and he didn't start with anybody that's listening to this either. And I'm positive that there's better days ahead of you. Whether they take action with us or take action with somebody else, it is positively the biggest challenge that an individual can face, because it never goes away completely. You know, as I said, the day one mentality, it's like, but when you get that momentum, wow. And it doesn't mean, it's just like Angie's got to scale up right now, the client that's down like 50 something pounds or whatever it is. And it's just funny to see. I mean, this woman she's happier. Mm-hmm. She was already successful, but all of a sudden she's just like owns her greatness, so to speak. It's just, I mean, it's really neat to see it happen. So anyway, didn't mean to be so long-winded.
Well, here's the thing, right? At the end of the day, you're transforming the physical aspect, which affects the mental aspect, which affects everything around. Because your aura, your life, your style, your energy is different. You know, you're going to be interacting in a much lighter way. And I'm not meaning weight. I mean, lighter
no,
in life, right? But yeah. it's really a unique, you know, part of our life. We need to be vibrant and you know, active and so on and so forth. And now you can do all the other stuff, right? And so you can enjoy life better. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think everybody that, you know, they just have to face the idea that I might be having a problem with my weight. And again, as you stated, people are having a problem with their weight every day. And unless we stay aware of all the stuff we cannot eat and things like that, then the weight is going to be part of our life, because everything that we have around us today is geared towards literally making us a little bit, you know, heavier by the day.
the deck is stacked against us. I don't disagree with you one bit. It is completely, and to that I say to everybody, and so what? You still got to make the changes.
I love it.
And I mean, you got to own it. Because I used to get upset. I, you know, see people that could eat anything. You know, there's people like that literally burn at a much higher rate. Every one of our clients, every person that we talk to, then to the thousands of people that we talk to and work with at some level or not, these people, all their body burns at a slower rate than what it should for what they're putting in their mouth. I mean, and that's it. And so you have to reverse that somehow, you know, and at the end of the day, there's a math equation for everybody. I don't know what it is for it. I mean, your math equation is different than mine. Mine's different than Angie's, as I was saying earlier. But at any rate, just be hopeful. Find your own equation. Find it, and take action.
And that's it. So will that be the last, you know, words of wisdom to close today, or do you have something else to add?
all I got, Hurricane.
All right. Well, listen. I mean, Angie, maybe you want to throw something there.
No, he says it best. No, just like Alan said, have hope, but don't wait, because you don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. You don't want to wait until the doctor you've been diagnosed with 5 obesity-related illnesses and you find yourself not able, time-wise or whatever, to make the changes. And it's also a fact, and if you're in a relationship, if you're married or significant other, weight gain is the third cause of divorce after adultery and financial issues. Mm-hmm. It's the third cause.
Number three.
Because while he loved me and I loved him and we weren't going anywhere, we had made that commitment. A lot of commitments aren't made, I guess, like we had made ours. I mean, I was going to be here till one of us died, whether it was from the heart attack or a stroke or thankfully not, but you just don't know. And we want the best for, you know, we want the best for people because we know the difference it can make when you're at your best.
Yep.
I'm just listening to you. I'm smiling because it makes me feel fuzzy just about it. I mean, it's really, but I love what you said. It's true. I mean, and the statistics is real. I mean, you know, it's amazing, as you said. I mean, yeah, well, I mean, it's very simple. You know, if you're not attached, you know, to the core and to the till that do us part, that concept, and it's more physical attraction, things like that. Sometimes that's what it's based on. And now you're not looking too good. And the other, you know, there's a lot of looking good, you know. And again, this is not about looking good, not, but you know what I'm talking about. Like people look at the other.
The number three cause of divorce doesn't get to that number without putting a bunch of people in that category who were in the death do us part also. Number three. It's number three that we're talking in the, I mean, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but I know it's number three. Think about it. Infidelity, financial, number three is weight gain. Okay, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of attorneys who are in court with people and splitting up assets and having families split apart. And we've talked to some of those people too, by the way, a lot of them. And it is heartbreaking. And what the greatest heartbreaking of it all is almost like a, it would be akin to somebody who had a gambling addiction or you know, one of those different, you know, million of different addictions you could have, but it's, they know that they could have done something about it. That's what's the most heartbreaking of all. So, but anyway, but it's been great being with you, Herb. Okay. And thank you so much for having us.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I'm telling you, this was great. And you're right. I mean, we can do something about this. This is one thing we can fix. You know, anybody can fix it. It just takes awareness, commit, and go. That's it. I mean, they have to get it.
It's so, simple. It ain't easy. That's right.
Nothing is easy, right?
But with the right strategy, it becomes a whole lot easier. It does. So.
Well, there you go. So, folks, if you're watching and listening and you're interested, you know what to do. TransformMyFuture.com/DMBC or EMBC. And, you know, get in there, see what's up, and do your first thing. You know, maybe this could be the next phase of your life, which will make you happier, better, acceptable, whatever the case may be. Maybe not acceptable, you're accepted as you are, but we want you to be just more, you know, in tune with who you're supposed to be and intended to be in this world, you know. So that's about it. Well, listen, Angie, Alan, thank you so much for being with us, for sharing a lot of great stuff. It's lovely to hear this, great stories and great, you know, success, you know, outcomes. Folks, there you have it. You know what to do. This is important. If it's not for you, you don't think, I know there's someone that you know that might need this. So that's the other thing that we always forget. Sometimes it's not about us. We're watching and listening. You know someone, your neighbor, your friend, your family, your colleague, somebody may be suffering, you know, of, you know, this thing called weight or obesity. You can make that change, the leap forward to something better and a better life for them. Guide them to the link. Guide them to the show. That being said, American H., thank you for watching, listening. We'll be talking soon. New day, new show, new topic. Bye for now.